Well, good
morning.
Good morning, folks. How are we? Oh, yeah. Good morning. This is Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro podcasting, calling in my my guest today. This is so I'm going to let this play out. You guys hold and bear with me. You should be on the air shortly with me. Okay.
Hello.
Hey there. I am talking to Dr. Kalo Black. I'm hoping you can hear me. Can you, sir?
Yes. Coming through clear.
Fantastic. We had a little technical difficulties. I want to welcome everybody once again. My name is Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro. I am podcasting once again from an undisclosed location somewhere deep in enemy territory, and it is my privilege to have on the show and joining me today, Dr. Kalo Black. He is founder of KPG, Web Focus Architect. He's certified software engineer, winner of the CTO Ambassador Award. He's a poet, a producer, and I think more importantly, a spiritual scholar. I can tell you I checked the facts on this. Now, the reason this show is so special is that for those of you that follow us on Twitter, for those of you that follow us on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, Pinterest, all of our other social media platforms, you guys read yesterday and saw that he opened the door for what I think is an amazing opportunity. He has access and the use of 6,000 acres of land in Ghana. We talk about the agenda, the community that we were hoping to establish, that community of Black Haven, a refuge for ADOS, a foundational Black American city. And this person just dropped out of the sky, folks. And it's taught me so much in such a short amount of time. Folks, I want to introduce to you Dr. Kalo Black. Sir, thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to serve our people in this manner and on your platform. A great introduction, and I'm just honored to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. We have time. I just want people to know, you know, who you are, what you do. We do have a call-in number for folks who want to speak to the doctor. And Dr. Black, the guest call-in number is 319-527-6069. And just wait a few before you start dialing. I just wanted to give us a little background. First, you're the founder of KPG. What is KPG, sir?
KPG is Kingdom Project Group, which is exactly what it says. I believe when taken just from the model prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," is the heart of a person who wants to establish what is right. And I think that needs an actual agent, us as people here in this realm, to be vessels to carry that mission out. I always say, I don't need to wait until I get to heaven. I want to bring it down to earth through my life. So that's the kind of thought process behind the name that, you know, I figured would communicate the vision that I have.
I see. And you've been doing this for how long, the KPG?
Well, it's been a number of years, probably around 5 years now, that I've been on this road with KPG specifically.
Fantastic. We also see your background involves a web-focused architect, certified software engineer, but some of my folks want to know the winner of the CTO Ambassador Award. Tell us about that, please.
Right. So basically, I used to be employed with the government in the Social Security Administration, the corporate offices. And so I had an opportunity to pitch an idea that I had that I actually had thought of to even implement in Africa as a training method to get, you know, youth more involved in technology. And I called it a technology gym. So Tech Gym for short. So within this gym, basically, it's just no different than when you go to a gym and you work out and you build your muscles. So this gym would actually be hands-on technology type of equipment that you could do and practice various things with no limitations, with really just allowing you to dive in and actually do it yourself. So I had thought about this concept in which to implement actually in Africa. So I pitched this concept because I saw some applicability within our environment. And when I pitched it to the CTO, he loved it and wanted to implement it in the Social Security Administration. And basically with myself and one additional guy, from a software end, because it involved hardware and software, I had to set up the servers, I had to set up everything. Also automated software production. I mean, basically I did everything on my own, setting up the servers, getting it to talk with the computers, and also automating builds of software and then bringing that software back into the secure Social Security environment. But even though it was developed outside of the environment. So I successfully put all that together. We presented it to the executives of Social Security Administration. And for that effort, I received the first TO Ambassador Award.
Fantastic. I mean, what a story. What a story. And again, we are privileged to have on the show Dr. Kalo Black. Now, a part of this title, specifically on your Twitter page, it says nationalist, and some of the folks that they wanted to make sure that they weren't, you know, combining the words black nationalist in our advertising, and because we didn't want to panic, you know, they didn't want to panic the Gentiles, and so we kind of put it together that you're Dr. Kalo Black, nationalist. Tell us about that word in your repertoire, please.
Okay. So it's kind of a two-edged sword, right? Because I am a black nationalist, which means I'm black first. And because of my purpose, just for example, Mashiach, Messiah, Jesus, or whatever name that you're describing, he says, I came only to the lost. So my purpose is not to speak to the world. My purpose is to speak to the lost, work for the lost, serve the lost of our people specifically. That's first. The other edge of the sword as nationalists is I do believe, because I am in this country and I do care what policies and laws are implemented, that I am American centric. So I don't like our jobs going overseas because it affects blacks more, of course, because immigration, I'm against immigration, open immigration, because it affects black youth. I've been out in the streets and during the Obama administration, there were so many black, young, unemployed men. It was crazy. And they couldn't even get a job, let alone if you had, you know, rap sheet. It was very difficult for them to be successful. So illegal immigration, of course, lowers the wages because you could pay them lower. So that affects our people. So as it pertains to that two-edged sword, yes, I'm a nationalist, black nationalist, but I'm also a nationalist as it pertains to policies that are American-centric, because ultimately it affects our people in the same way. So I'm very sensitive to that. And I think that kind of sums it up. But I know that is kind of controversial, that word, but I use it deliberately because it's that.
And as you explain it, it really squares off and falls into place. You know, I said it yesterday, folks. There are people that you come across, people that you meet. I mean, certainly there are so many that you meet that are unimpressive. We all know. The world is filled with unimpressive people. And we meet them, we coincide with them every single day. But then, as I said yesterday, there is that unique individual, that gem within the rough of society that shines brightly and draws you to that light. And I'm going to tell you something. I assess character fairly quickly. This person, Dr. Kalo Black, I don't know if it's the preparation in terms of his experiences, but the way he expresses his thought, his idea, I think is something that all of us can at least learn from, at least hear it and tell me if I haven't checked the facts. Again, this is Amos Anan, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognito. I have with us today on the podcast, Dr. Kalo Black, founder of KPG. He's explained what that is, the winner of the first CTO Ambassador Award, spiritual scholar, I'd say. Now, what brings him today with us, aside from introducing himself, he has offered the use of 6,000 acres of land in Ghana to establish a Negro community of any type that is available. He has made it plain yesterday in his tweet that he's said this before, and unfortunately, the foundational Black Americans have not responded. When I read it, if you folks, you know, any of you that listen to my platform who preaches that separation, education, and do no harm, I thought this was a manna from heaven, and I jumped on it. And then you guys saw the post. I made no bones about it. I put it everywhere. And so, you know, with this presented, you know, I can't imagine it not being of some sort of providential, I want to say divine, in interaction. I don't know. Tell us about the land in Ghana. Tell us what you have and what you just tell us about it and just be as detailed as possible, please.
Okay. Well, there's a spiritual, of course, slant that actually even had me look towards Africa, because, of course, you know, there's a lot of propaganda that goes on, because I think in general, as AOS, we can't really conceive that we are worthy of the amount of orchestration that has gone in and the countless of money that has been spent on keeping us from understanding who we are. So if you just...
Sorry, go ahead. My apologies.
No, go ahead.
No, continue. It was a glitch in my matrix.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And if you just stop to ponder that, then you will begin to want to try to dig out and look outside the box to really understand what is so significant be so insignificant that they would do all this orchestration in order to suppress a people who are supposed to be less than human. So because of that, we all have what I call unconscious bias. You see it in children, black children who grow up, and no one teaches them, but you see these episodes where they're like, which baby is better, and they point at the white baby. Which one's bad, they point at the black baby. So there's this not only genetic information being passed, which is not taught directly, but it's also through observation that we are picking this up, whether it's media, whether it's our environment, to automatically put us in the position where we're trying to be shut up and our eyes closed from birth.
Wow.
So as I thought, even when I was younger, that the spirit said to me that my first location would be Africa, I kind of chuckled, even though I'm sensitive to the spirit. But I chuckled because I'm also still in a situation where that programming is being rewritten.
Wow.
So how
is the programming being rewritten? Expand on that. That's fascinating.
Okay. So having understanding about matters helps you to be able to liberate certain chains that have been placed upon you. And let me give you an example. Genetically, you can affect a flea through keeping a flea enclosed. And if it is pregnant, and even though a flea could jump very high, if it's enclosed while it's pregnant, that enclosure or that information of that limitation is automatically passed to the child flea. And when the child flea is born, it is already limited because of the genetic information that was passed to it while it's in its mother's womb.
So let me understand this. You're saying that the inherent bias and the psychological outlook of Hebrews or captives in this country is that outlook that is passed down genetically. Is that what you're implying?
Yes. For example.
Wow.
For example, you've heard the saying, if you want to keep something from a black person, just put it in a book. But they fail to understand the genetic implications of that knowledge of survival that was placed into us by our forefathers who could die if they were ever found reading.
Wow. Wow.
So because of that genetic wound, we suffer even today. However, but because of the lack of understanding, and all you're getting, get understanding, with this I created the heavens and the earth, you begin to liberate yourself because now you are aware of it and you can address it. Just like in software, right? If you don't know that there is a virus in you, you can't have something to clean the virus out.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. I 100% agree. And we have been infected with the virus of colonialistic and just slave mentality.
Yes. And but we have to look at it with understanding. So if I look at my brother, well, let's take it back to the written word and the example of Mashiach, who said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, that is someone with understanding. Because even in those times, we were abused, we were victimized, and our people down and out. We were misled by leaders who had given themselves up for the love of money and wealth and debauchery.
Mm.
And therefore, they led us, as you've heard, a blind leading the blind, into the ditch. So those kind of, that understanding is important, because when we look at our brothers who may not perceive, who may not see, who may not have the vision, we can look at them and say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then with that, have patience, because we know that we deserve the patience from the Father. And then when we communicate that to them, then we are able to be in a place where we can be sought in their lives and slowly affect change, slowly rewrite the code that's been placed in their genetics through giving them understanding to address it. Because a lot of people, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I understand. And in my opinion, and if I can dovetail in my opinion, the only way to accomplish that deprogramming is to remove ourselves from the programmers.
Yeah.
In this respect, I promote separation, because it constantly reinforces itself. It's like magnetic attraction, a negative magnetic attraction. As much as we try to draw away from them, they continue to be in our orbit. And I'm of the mind that the only way to wipe clean, to reformat the programming, is to have a black haven, an area of ours, 4 hours, you know. But there are other reasons I promote separation. I think there are things coming in the future that will probably be to our advantage if we were away from Gentiles and those that promote Gentile belief. But we can get that. So the understanding where you're coming from, knowing the, and I'm sure folks listening heard and understand why I am affected by this deep thinker. First, let me just say this, Dr. Black. I'm going to just go ahead and give you that title. I know that you said, I don't know that, I understand why you call yourself Dr. Kalo Black, and all due respect, it's absolutely appropriate. I've said this before, folks, and you've heard me. There are godly men, and then there are men of God. This is just my thought. This is how I justify what I do and how I speak and the things I say. I know that I am not a godly man. I'm just God aware. I'm a man of God. But when you meet godly men, it really kind of reflects, you know, you, where you are. You know, the one thing I've always encouraged, you know, when I speak, we've been at this for 2 years, folks, is that I'm not going to pretense. I don't pretend. I've said that this is not a religious podcast, it isn't, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to bring people that can give you some meat. I'm not in any way qualified to do so, and I will not pretend to be what I am not. But this individual, after just a few short hours of interaction, I have, you know, have a complete understanding that the Spirit has been poured on this person, and so I'm so happy to have you here. Dr. Black, and I thank you for allowing me to get that in. So the land in Ghana, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry I said all that. My point was that.
No,
I didn't want to go to Africa when it first was told of it.
No, it needed to be said, because I want people to see what I see, and if people don't see it,
right.
I mean, I'm not a good judge of character, and I know that I am a good judge of character. So the land in Ghana, 6,000 acres. Well, tell me what you put out there and how it came about, and how, you know, I can't even believe that I'm even entertaining this, because now I've had discussions with folks who are excited, but I wanted to get this out of the way, to get them on a podcast so we can get it out there. Tell us about this this opportunity, sir.
Okay. So as I said, I didn't want to go to Africa, but I ended up going, being moved to go. There was many things revealed to me that we may have to touch on later, because it was very pivotal in understanding our ties as ADOS and our identity, which is lacking in so many ADOS, the true heritage, not religious heritage, but our real heritage that we have not really, or many have not understood, have really attributed to themselves. So it was multiple things that I think this mission was to accomplish, mainly something that was told to me before the internet, before all these things, that I was Israel, but I had no understanding until following, you know, the future years, and knowledge has become increased. So I can see the factual documents that the kingdom of Judah was in West Africa, the places where they took or called, you know, the slave coast, which is, of course, where we are descendant of and brought here to America. So my trip to Africa led me to meet a number of people. And one of the people that I did meet took me to a village called Techiku. And Techiku is, you're not going to find us in the map if you search Techiku, because this is what the village calls it. And it just shows you the village operates in a way, and then the secular world operates in a way, right? So, and sometimes there's not a connection there, but the reality of how the people operate is the reality and how they function. So that's the reality I prefer to embrace.
And the name again, the name of the area?
It's called Techiku.
Techiku, go ahead.
K-Y-E-K-Y-E-K-U.
K-Y-E-K-Y-E-K-U. Yeah. Got it. Okay, go ahead.
So took me to this place, and I met the high priest there, the elders, the children. And I brought the high priest a gift, and it was a solar-powered radio. So in Techiku, it's a couple of hours away from Accra, Ghana, the main capital. And it's also in a very kind of secure, remote area, not too remote where there's no civilization accessible, but it's remote enough that because it's surrounded by mountains, it's just a beautiful place. It's so bountiful there. Big palm, coconut trees, palm trees, bananas, fruit everywhere. It's just so bountiful. And wow. It just reminds me of, there is something rich, and our forefathers wrote, go into the wilderness where the air will be bountiful. There's bountifulness in the wilderness. So when I went there and met him and I gave him that as a gift, he was really just taken aback. He loved it. He loved it so much. We really formed a bond of, you know, and he's just very kind. They're very open and pure people in that village. And from there, we just started to keep it in touch and speaking. I left and came back to Ghana again, and during that time in that relationship, we'd shared our vision and what we wanted to do, and they communicated that they were willing to give us land. And at that point, when we originally first started speaking with them, it was, you know, we'll give you land. Then they were specific, we'll give you 1,000 acres, 2,000 acres. But as my relationship of love and just pouring onto them and helping them, and they're seeing our sincerity, it got up to 6,000 acres, and they would give us even more. And on the last visit, there was a sister, because I've been very open with the Kingdom Project Group, it's very open, transparent. If you want to come, I have a house in Accra, Ghana. You can go there free, no cost. You can stay there as long as you want. I keep it. I have a person named Albert Beloved, and his heritage goes, verbal heritage goes all the way back where the Egyptians and him and his people left Egypt into Africa.
Wow.
It goes that far back. But he is a great man of integrity. He stays there. And that house, actually, I have a studio there, a photography place. We have drones. We have media ability to, you know, speak, and projectors. And, you know, I'm a techie guy, so I brought all the tech. It was costly, but it was definitely worth it to have that established there. So any 8OS, anybody who wishes to come to explore, wouldn't have to pay anything, just get the flight. They can stay there. And Albert, that's his name, he would definitely meet you at the airport, get you acclimated, show you how to navigate through the area. But the relationship that I built with the chief, we talk through WhatsApp often. I say chief because he's the son of the chief, but he's also going to be the chief because his father, of course, is old. But what's exciting about them willing to give us now 6,000 acres, and it's really unlimited, because the difference between other areas where people are like, oh, I'm going to Ghana, I'm going to buy land, and you have those limitations, get the permits, you got to go through this, you might get scammed, you might do all these things. This invitation for us is to be a part of them. So it's almost as if it's an adoption. So you're not going there and purchasing land. No, you come to be a part of them, and the land and the resources of that land is yours. But because he's aware of our involvement and influence and being in the States in America, and his vision as a young priest and soon to be chief, he sees the opportunity of this relationship to even have it, his village flourish, because they even showed, I had videos of them showing me where his people in the old would hand mine gold, and he has given us permission to mine the gold. Now, he has been approached by the Chinese, the white guy, man, I mean, but he's refused them, and he is just so humbly has provided that to us. I'm just honored that he would, and of course, grateful to our Creator that I have this opportunity to be able to lay it at our people's feet, just as I am willing to lay it at your feet, because to me, the establishing or the qualifying factor that I'm looking for is someone who is willing to lay down their life. And that means time, that means whatever resources or talents they have for their people. That's what I'm looking for. And when you were so excited when I said that, and I have said this to everybody, blast it out to NFAC, blast it out to Young Pharaoh, blast it out to all these people, and not one person has made a comment about it or just, you know, have gotten back to me. I mean, everybody talks, this is what I want to do, this is what we should do. But no one has been as excited as you when I mentioned that. And the thing that I think I really liked about it is because you looked at that message or tweet with faith, right? You looked at it with faith. You didn't come to me and say, no, Nikki, oh boy, what are you doing? Why are you lying? You know what I'm saying? You didn't come like that. Or, oh, he might be a cheat. He might be a thief. You came with faith, and that was beautiful.
No, I take people at face value until they prove otherwise. I can't live any other way. And I saw, I just, listen, we've been at this, Honus Prince, Doug Rice, my executive producer, we've been at this this vision, the agenda, and the agenda community would shortly follow the agenda. We've been after this for 2 years. You can look back on our, you can just listen to our programming, to our podcast. And, you know, when I read it, I of course had to take it seriously. And then having talked to you and understand the breadth and depth of your insight, You know, there I have nothing to do but believe. And so, you know, folks, we talk about the Agenda community. And again, for you first listeners, the Agenda is an acronym, the Association of Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas. We made it up. It's, you know, it's the best we got, okay? And it incorporates all descendants of slaves, all Hebrews, Negroes, foundational Black Americans. And we have three principles. We decided not to complicate this. There are three simple principles of the Agenda and the Agenda community. The first principle is separate. It's not malicious. It's not confrontational. It's not in preparation for any conflict. We have to separate. We were never meant to really mix with nations anyway, and that's scriptural. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not qualified to do so. The second principle is educate, and that involves the deprogramming that Dr. Black talked about. We are programmed, and he took it one step further in that the programming is passed down genetically. And I think about my daughter, who, you know, I found one day scribbling a code. She made a little code that something I used to do as a child. Never talked to her about it, never mentioned it to her. But found a book with the identical code that I created as a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. I saw my 9, 10, 11-year-old daughter writing. And I don't mean something similar. I mean something exact. Specific. Never talked to her about little secret codes. And I went to service and I became a communication center operator with secret security clearance. I was into coding, you know. And so when I saw that, I had of the mind that, you know, not only are the imperfections and talents passed genetically, you know, and forgive me, you may not know this, Dr. Black, but this is in my opinion. But, you know, for us to be punished from in Deuteronomy 28, the curses, for us to be taken into captivity for the sins of our forefathers, and I've said this over and over, in some manner, in some way, I don't know how, and I'm not talking about reincarnation, but there's got to be some kind of way that we are actually those forefathers. And it may be just simply genetics, but we're not just sitting here paying for the sins of some people that lived thousands of years ago, okay? In some way that I can't really put together, we are those people. That it would only make sense. Not in some, you know, reincarnation Indian, Hindu, Buddhist way. I'm talking about something that I can't even explain. But that I don't want to digress. I've got a great guest on. So I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognigro. Again, you know, you guys know. Oh, the third principle. Sorry, third principle. Do no harm. We talked about that yesterday, Dr. Black. Tell me how the do no harm principle, how does that fit into your vision of allowing us this grand opportunity? Is that something that you're okay with? I just want your feedback.
Yeah, I think that it is so beautiful because people have a tendency to try to write down all the list of things, the do's and don'ts. We have the commandments, we have our laws, we have legislators. It's all this writing down this and that and a lot of burning because it's a burden to us. But when you really boil it down, we don't need to be taught how to care for one another. We don't have to go to church 10 times a day to be able to understand to do your neighbor no harm. We don't really need all the burden. Actually, we need liberty. We need liberty and a safe place to reside so we can freely be what most know that melanated people are anyway. Just think about what they have done to us. But yet, we are the ones on TV saying, I forgive them already. After they killed our children. Who does that on the planet?
Only
no one. That's right. No one. That's right. They're not certified. Oh, good God. They're not certified enough to be that way. Now, some people might look at that as weak, right? But to me, it speaks a different song. It speaks a different song of our true nature as people. So separating and being in a place where we can really flourish is, to me, paramount. And I think doing no harm is just the most basic foundation of our existence, and even is a synonym with our nature if we have been put back into a garden environment again to allow ourselves to be who we are.
Well, Dr. Black, I've said so many times that, you know, they wag their little white wrinkled fingers at us and tell us how we, you know, just got this high crime rate and we murder each other and black people this and black people that. And I tell all the racist Gentiles that wag their fingers, I said, listen, everything that we learned from you. So you don't like what we're doing in our neighborhoods, you can thank yourself. Don't wag your finger at us. Yeah. You took a people, you stole them from their land, you stripped them of their identity, and you handed them yours. And then, after you enslaved and abused them, you released them into the wild, unsupervised, with no sustenance, no sustainability, and determined that you would further abuse them, further congregate and corral them up, further enslave them by creating a prison industry. You know, let me tell you something, what we are, and I don't want to get excited, Doc, because you might, I don't want to scare you off. You've listened to my podcast, I can't for a little while, but here's the deal. Let me tell you what these folks have done. See, we've got amnesia. I keep talking about this. You know, we've got this collective amnesia going on. Now that I'm woke, I used to be the biggest coon out there, Doc. I'm saving, so don't get offended. I used to be. And man, I read a book from Hebrew to Negro. And that started my journey. And from there, I started going in the half has never been told. You know, I've gone into Wake Up to Your True Identity. I've listened to T.L. Ministry. I've listened to Minister Fortson, because, you know, they write books on the stealing of the Hebrews, the hiding of us. This has all been an orchestrated, biblically explained plan. The replacing of us with imposters, the stealing of our land, the everything that's being done to us is planned and orchestrated. The United States was founded partially for the purpose of hiding the Hebrews. And we've gone over it biblically. And so the agenda community, where our only purpose is to create a safe haven, a black haven, for us to simply be somewhere safe, waiting for whatever is coming, because we know what's coming. So again, and I made this clear with Dr. Black yesterday. I'm not talking about creating a kingdom of my own. I'm not talking about, you know, establishing a utopia. I'm talking about a safe place to sit and wait for the return of the Most High and his messianic son, the King. So I just wanted you to know where we're coming from. I can't imagine the gems and the knowledge that you hold, and I offer, and hopefully you'll take a position on our board of directors, the agenda and the agenda community. And as you taught me yesterday, we're not doing anything colonial. We just want to offer you a position on the board. Hopefully you accept, because we know that this is not going to be done without your input. And hopefully you accept. I'm hoping.
Yes, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Yes. So, again, this is Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker. You know, the show is brought to you by First Contact Lead Generating Services. First Contact provides real-time verified data to various businesses, companies, and services. You guys can contact First Contact, no vowels. And if you own a company and you're looking for warm leads and you don't want to pay for a call center, call First Contact, because we know that scrubbed data is best. Thanks again to First Contact. So so tell me, you know, your plans for the future. You in your repertoire. You are a spiritual scholar. Let's fast forward, let's just say 6 months from now, and we've got material and things moving. What do you want to do? You seem like a man that has some kind of vision. Talk to me about it.
Well, I have a bunch. But honestly, I think the what would excite me the most, besides us talking and your vision being communicated and gaining momentum to go out to Ghana and begin to materialize this place for our people, I'm willing to do anything to make that happen. And now when I say anything, when I was working at Social Administration, they're literally, just for folks' knowledge, literally people who've been working for that Social Administration and corporate world for about 20 so years. Mm-hmm. But they were so sweet in their retirement package that they leave millionaires. Wow. So one of the things that they tell you is, if you get that kind of job, you don't want to leave it. Because they can't fire you, really. You sit back. I mean, some people sit every day and do little to nothing. Mm. And then they hire contractors or consultants to really do all the work. That's why I didn't really mix as well, because I'm a worker, you know. And so I literally left my job, resigned. And it wasn't to go another job. It was to go to Africa my second time. Mm. I had planned to be there for quite some time, a couple of months, you know. Like 4 to 6 months, it got cut short because my wife was having some difficulty. But to be able to materialize something for our people and to lay it at their feet. Now, what I mean lay it at their feet, and this is what's important to me. I believe, again, not that I'm saying scripture is anything good is good, no matter what it comes or where it comes from. And the principles underlining it is good, because the first economic plan that was released by what the scripture says was the Spirit of God was a economic plan that none lacked anything. Mm. Now, that's the God's economic plan, that none should lack. Now let's go a little further in time. When the colonializers came into Africa and said, we don't see beggars, thieves, and their culture is very rich, we will never be able to conquer them. How the only way that we will be able to conquer them is to convince them what we have is better than what they have already. Mm. And that is exactly what happens today. We want what they have rather than what we had as a people. And in that land of Africa where they had snatched us from, there was no lack of anything. The land is rich. They have food. There was no need to steal. There was no need for these things. So my idea is to implement a plan that none lack anything. And when you do that, and when your heart is about that, you will find the most wealth that you can ever imagine will emerge. Because greed is not the motivator. Having big mansions is not the motivator. I met people who left, and I commend them for wanting to leave and get out of America. But I've met people who had mansions because they were like doctors or, you know, they wanted to retire in Africa, be with their people, and mansions with 5, 6, 7 bedrooms, but no one in them. No one in them. But yet would meet a brother who's trying to do it on their own, doesn't have much money, don't have much resources, coming out of Babylon to Ghana and trying to make something. And they wouldn't even help them. But yet they got 7 to 8 rooms in their mansion that they built. See, I don't subscribe to that mentality, because to me, that's a Euro mindset. Capitalism is a Euro mindset. And it's not about socialism either. I'm talking about a mechanism that, whether it's agricultural, because we have a massive amounts of land, we build an agricultural method in which to bring resources back into our community to continue to build for our people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the gold that we have, where we use in mine because they've given us the permission, and use that to bring it back and build for our people. Because I'm not trying to do what other people have done. And they were like, okay, we could build you a house here. They gave us land, but I'm going to charge you to build a house here. I'm looking for love, man. I'm looking for people to lay down their lives for their brothers, because it is truly better to give than to receive. And if you really understand that principle, you are more like God than you can ever imagine.
You had mentioned
because you breathe.
Not to cut you off, but you had mentioned that yesterday, laying down your life. I found that profound. And I mean, to simply state it is a powerful act, in my opinion. And so I think it's an agreeable and reasonable expectation that any person who gets
I think
involved,
we deserve it.
That
we're worthy of it.
Right. Yeah. Forget what you have, the money, all of that. You know, that if God is behind this, it cannot be stopped. If He is not for it, it will go nowhere. So
that's right.
I think it's nothing more than reasonable to ask that anybody a part of what we do as we try to flee Babylon. If you're not prepared and fully aware that it may cost you your life, and you are prepared to lay it down for your brother, that is the qualifier to join us. And I think that's only for you. Don't have to sign anything. You don't have to take an oath. You come in understanding that you do this, putting your life on the line for your brother every single day. That's what you commit. I like that. I think it's an
That's beautiful.
Thing. Keep going.
Because I think... No, that was beautiful. So beautiful. Because I think it's going to be the healing mechanism, because it is the thing that's going to really heal it as well. It's two parts. Like, I was about to do a tweet and share it with you, and there was a community of people. I had made some comment, and they said, because I said, there's a lot of going on with ADOS and Pan-Africanism. So I was trying to figure out, what is the conflict here? I really don't see a conflict. I think it's right for us to petition our government for restitution and reparations from our harm done to our forefathers. And I think that's just right. And I also, I think for those who are Pan-Africanists, who got out of our country, I think that's just smart. I mean, where's the conflict? I don't see the conflict that these people are driving. But my point of that is that what's going to heal, to me, the signature mark of the divine upon a person is that great love, right? As I was saying, it is better to give than receive, right? We walk around, we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
We have air. We have the land. We have all this in its purest sense, which was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't earn it. I didn't have to work 10 times to be able to get a piece of land. You know, it was there, you know, more like the natives believe, you know, can't own land. How do you own something that was never? And that's also what's different about this place. This is a air. When we go there, it is, you're not going to say, I own this block, and when I'm ready to sell it, I'm hoping to get a return of 20-30%. We're not. I mean, one of the things during slavery in the South, they would have is these agreements with one another. And you can never sell the land just because you wanted to leave. You know, if you decide to leave, this land was for a people, and you could not sell that land. And, you know, even though different people lived on it, so you didn't, it was the whole who owned it, and it wasn't an individual plot that you had the right to sell. Unfortunately, as time passed, money talks, and if you're not loving your brother enough, you'll love money more.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. Can you repeat that?
I said, if you're not loving your brother enough, you will love money more.
Woo! I like that.
And then if you love money more, then you're willing to do anything. And to think about it, but think about it. They will do anything for a deception. That's what it is. Because money is nothing but a deception if it's not gold and silver.
That's right. It's an illusion.
If it's not gold and silver, it's just a deception. It's the Ponzi scheme that you have bought into, and because you equated value to it, it has been successful.
You spoke yesterday on being conscious of the present population in our attitudes and not offending them, and with our neo-colonialist ideology, and
I commend that.
One of the things that we spoke of yesterday, and I'm not you and I, but folks at the agenda, is because I had brought that up, is the need to have some sort of preparatory summary or preparatory study that prepares the folks coming from slavery, from the slave mentality, from the neo-colonialist European ideology into the society that they have no real familiarity with. We have to have kind of pre-brief.
That transition, yes.
That transition.
And it's beautiful that you mentioned that, because there is a sister in Belize that I had met, and she has purchased land in Belize. She identifies herself with the knowledge now easily obtainable of her heritage as Ados, as a Hebrew, as Israel, from just her ancestry. And she has, similar to me, is willing to work with others. And we had discussed that. And she said, you know, we can use Belize as a transitional area. Belize is beautiful, by the way. It's beautiful. But it doesn't have to be in Belize. But my point is, you're right. And that would have to be developed, because it's such a radical concept. And as I shared with you, when I saw the vision of a lion with wings, and I was pondering at that, and I had to do a search, and I forgot that that was the image of Babylon. But that Babylon was in me. In me. So to constantly be in a situation where we're not, and I like to say it, it's a really degenerate way of living. We have embraced what is degenerate. Now, I don't say that in an attacking way. I'm saying that in the real way. If you were operating in this plateau, and you decide to go down to that plateau, you have degenerated yourself, accepting a characteristic or traits that are not becoming to your estate as a being. Come on now.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
I hope the cheat sheets wrote it down, because you know, hopefully the listeners, the folks that will be listening to this later today, we have a lot of folks that listen afterwards, you know, when they hear what this man is talking about, they'll understand why I was drawn to him. It almost seems that he has this part, because you know that I'm rough and crass and brash. I curse a lot, Doc. Don't hold it against me. But, you know, yeah, and then you guys know Honus, who is a 5G of aficionado. Honus, you haven't met him yet. One of the he's on the board of directors, Dr. Black. And he, I saw that you mentioned something about 5G. Well, this gentleman is just a grand wizard on how 5G, how it will affect us all. And so, you know, we get, you kind of notice that you, people have what you're missing. And I can see this in this guy. This is amazing stuff. I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue, please. Go ahead.
So if we understand the things in those terms, it is easier then to release that characteristic when presented with the understanding that that characteristic is beneath you. Because it is the way those who are beast perform and act. And we are not beast. So if you want to be a beast, then that's okay. It's okay, but that beast mentality is not one of the divine. That's why it's termed beast. So I believe that having a general understanding of those foundational thoughts about it's really getting back to the true understanding. Because if you really try to really understand, if you ever exalt a fiat, paper, meaningless, nothing currency over a brother who is your flesh made in the image of a creator with such a biology and genetics, which still baffles the minds of scientists. And if you elevate that over that genuine creation or reflection of the unseen, then there is something wrong with you. It is a degenerate state, and we have to communicate that so people can hear it in those terms, so they can say, you're right, actually, when I think about it, you are right, because it is truth, and truth
and
cuts.
Let me further that, and once that's pointed out, once that is voiced, you know, you also have to release those hearers into the wild or into society, and you can't have the society that they go out into just knock off the information that you've just delivered and reinforce the very bad conduct and attributes that you've. This is the reason we need our own space. This is the reason we need Black Haven, because this is the conversation that we need to have in our own space. And then when we go out in our day, we're not confronted with European ideology, which fights against what we learned.
Yes.
What an opportunity.
It fights against all that is natural. Yes.
Exactly. We will. And we are, you know, when Caucasians or the white man or Gentiles, when they went to China, I guess when Marco Polo went to China, they were observed by the Chinese. And they said that the European they are not content in an empty room. They needed that observation about these beings. And, you know, we've gone over in past podcasts, you know, of the origins and who they think they are and their relation to the fallen and
all of these things.
And, I've said it on Twitter, all of the things that distract us and take away from the reality we're living in as captives. Folks, I'm going to, you know, I explained this to Dr. Black yesterday. And I say it every time. We're in a captive state. We're released captives. We're not free. We're released captives. We're released and controlled and murdered and marginalized and jailed and institutionalized and not given the opportunities that the folks this country was built for are given. You mentioned the immigration. I chime in with you. And I go one step further in saying that immigration was almost a plot to keep Black Americans from getting it due.
Exactly.
That these individuals were invited in droves into this country in the 1800s and 1900s through Ellis Island and handed citizenship and given all the things that we as Black Americans fought for before America was even a country. So it is an insult to us when we got people telling us to go back where we came from. But these fools are two generations from not even speaking English. Meanwhile, Crispus Attucks died. First person to die for the freedom of this country was a black person. And, you know, so I say it in all candor, this country was not built for us. It was built to hide us and built to enslave us. And it continues to do so. The scriptures tell us to flee Babylon. And Dr. Black, with your blessing, with your invitation, the agenda and the agenda community hope to do just that. We are making it official in that we are, you know, just speaking it and saying that we want to be one of the first to go in and try to establish a Black Haven. And we want you to be, of course, on the board and making that happen. So we got about 24 minutes left. You know, we look at the recent events. We look at, to tell me what your thoughts are on, because we got a little time. What are your thoughts on their constantly just murdering us without any? I don't know if you read a few weeks ago, but a panhandling black man came up to a white woman and asked her for money. An aggressive panhandler. You know, the people you just tell them get the fuck away from. Right? Mm-hmm. The husband took out a gun, shot the black dude dead. And said that he feared for his wife's safety in that this guy aggressively panhandled. No charges, no investigation, no nothing. I mean, it's not Freddie Graves. It's not the guy who just got shot seven times. But it, to me, it sends a message, you know, of just where we are in this country. What are your thoughts on seeing things like that? And what do you expect from white people? I'm just going to ask. Go ahead.
Well, I have a really... I think radical thought as it pertains to racism and races. I think kind of like Trump would say, I know a lot of people don't like Trump, but he's a straight shooter, right? So he says, I don't fault China for taking advantage of us. That's smart. I fault us for allowing that to happen. So when you think about the us, that is so many of us. Remember, I told you, I have 6,000 acres laid at my feet for our people, and I can't even ply. But you replied. So think about that. For years, I've been saying it. I have this. I have this. I have this. I have this. And then you come and reply. So how do we have so few who are willing to bring our people out and put them into a better condition? Just like, for instance, that black billionaire who said, I'll pay all your tuitions to the college in Morehouse. Mm-hmm. Now they're investigating him.
Right.
You see, so again, it goes back to what I'm saying is, one, we don't recognize who we are. The whole world emulates our culture. Hip hop, whatever, they want to be like us, but they don't want to be us because we were always designed. I'm sorry.
No, I've said that like a million times on this show.
Right. But it goes to our purpose. It goes to who we are. We were always designed for the world to look at us and to emulate us. That was the plan from the beginning. So it is operating, but rather what has happened is the adversary has twisted it and used it against the world rather than for the benefit of the world.
Mm.
So it makes sense for me for the adversary to strike us down at every moment. That makes sense. Any warrior or any smart person who is trying to conquer the very thing which is the salvation of the earth, why not? But the issue is that not enough people are awakened to the move of the true nature of the Father. You got people who operate, they build organizations, everybody's looking in purple, they're looking good. Let's march, how we're going here, let's do it. Okay, we made ourselves known, I'm so great. Now, I want you all to tune in Sunday, I'm going to have a powerful message. Please be sure to give your money. We got to keep the ministry moving. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's wrong with that.
Yes. Yes.
Because that is not the solution. One of the skills that I had as a solution, I brought that solution and won that award because it satisfied a problem. I'm a solution. I want to solve problems. I have an economic system that takes $25 and five different people and produces over $400 million in 8 months.
And we are going to incorporate that into. So I'm just going to give you fair warning that the economic, and I didn't want to bring it up on this podcast. I know that that's literally an entire podcast, your economic plan. We are embracing divine. I just want to say there's something to this connection. And I work on instinct, and I follow my first mind. I'm sure you guys listening over the last hour and 10 minutes have heard Dr. Caleb Black, now a member of the board of directors here, the Agenda community. You know, with 6,000 acres of land in Donna, we are going to pursue this like a pit bull on red meat. And I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, let me just say this, though I'm not a religious person in the strictest sense, I do want to adhere to scriptural context. And I'll have people who have already questioned whether or not we should leave. Are we in scriptural alignment? Are we supposed to flee and get out of this place if we can?
That's a good question. Because we have a tendency, because of our nature, because literally our genetic nature is one of being linguists, right? One of who creates languages, one who's deep thinkers. And so we have a tendency to overthink things. So I could understand that. But this is what I say to people. We says, are we supposed to leave? Do you have to ask to move down the street? Or do you have to ask if it's okay to buy a house over here in this community in America? Do you have to ask is it okay if I can get five times my money and go to somewhere much cheaper and live more safe in the area? Do you have to ask? Does it have to be some written handwriting on the wall for you to make an economic or decision that benefits you? Only Black people do that.
My God. I hope everybody heard Dr. Kalo Black speak truth on the Amos A. Nunn Show. I hope you folks are tuning in. And if you didn't catch it, rewind it and go back. Okay? For a while I've asked the question, I've wondered, it's always been a something, and then, you know, clarity reaches out from a beam of light and snatches me alert. I hope you guys understand what the man is saying. We don't have to ask, we need to act.
That's right. Let me give you a perfect example. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I like to say Ruach HaKodesh, which is Hebrew for Holy Spirit, but watch this. So I was getting a job. I had favor that God had placed me in a position to get this job. And while I was working, they were so pleased with my performance that I actually, from different areas, received three offers from three different areas. One was an offer from a contractor who liked, we worked together. He really liked that work and he wanted me to do work as a contractor. And there was another job. There's two other jobs, and there were, one was an applications job, one was a Marriott job, which was a contractor job, and another one was what they call DC&T, which has to do with distributed communications and telecommunications area. And I had all these offers, and the Marriott job was the most money I would have ever made at that age. And so all these offers came at once. Two were then the same company I was consulting for, and it was Lockheed Martin at the time, two of the same company that I was working for. So I was like, oh my gosh. I asked them, I was like, My daughter's not feeling well, and I thought it was a great opportunity because she wasn't, so I had to go get her from school. But it was a great opportunity for me to get down on my face because I was like, gosh, what should I pick? Which one? So I got on my face, sought God, and sometimes I could be a little, like, tenacious because I know the reality because I've been on the other side so differently, so, you know, to much forgive and much love. So the reality of it was a cleaning, tenacious, I'm not going anywhere until I get some direction from you. So I sat on the basement of my floor and I waited for direction. And this is how, when I recite the story, I used to tell them all the money one, and then I just tell them all these different ones that had the different benefits. But when the Spirit spoke to me, he taught me something very profound. The first one, he says, the application job. This is directly, he said, the application job. The application job, you will be like the rock, and you will grow, right?
Okay.
He said the DC&T job, it's like the sand, and you will have trouble. The Marriott job, it's like the wind. But whatever you decide, I will bless you.
Oh, wow.
But check this. Whatever I decide.
Wow.
See, I'm looking for up, two, three, four, which way should I go? And all he laid down was the information, the vital information, the insight that I needed. And then, but he said, whatever you decide, I will bless you. But this is the key. So, you know, I decided to go with the application job, which was like a rock, and I would grow. And sure enough, it was firm. I was rock. I was growing. I was learning. And then I had an opportunity to work with the CIOs in this exclusive group of client service people who support all the VPs, the presidents of all of Lockheed Martin, because Lockheed Martin, there's presidents over presidents within their industry. So I was like, oh, that's great. I was looking, I was like, man, I would really like to go there. So I went there and got that job, left the place of rock, and then something happened where they had to consolidate, and I went, had to go into the DNC job. They incorporated our duties into that area. And remember, the Spirit said it was like the sand and you would have trouble. And the whole time I was in that environment, I had trouble. People jealous of me because I dressed nice. Or people, I had so much trouble. But I realized, all of that was good. But what I realized out of that lesson, what it didn't matter what I chose, because I'm going to be who I am going to be. But I was going to be blessed. And if I walked in whatever area, whether it was difficult, whether it was prosperous, whether it was poverty, whatever, no matter what, I was going to be in a blessed state. Good God.
Wow.
You see, wow. I was going to be in the blessed state. So that's what I have to say about what people say. Should we go? Should we not? No one does that. More white people go to Africa than I see visitors. They don't even want to leave when they come. When I was in Ghana, there were people from Europe coming. They didn't want to leave. And matter of fact, the sun, the amount of sun you get is more healing. And this leads us to the 5G, which is going to be even more detrimental to ADOS. Because of the fact that 5G not only spins the oxygen molecule, keeping it from being absorbed into your hemoglobin, it disrupts that whole process, giving you COVID-like symptoms, but it also prevents vitamin D absorption. And we are already lacking because we are not in the situation in our natural environment. So we already lack vitamin D without that. So it is going to affect us even the worse because our melanin, we have to be out there longer. But in Ghana, in that region, the sun is always shining, which is health in itself. And they know, scientists know, that vitamin D prevents autoimmune diseases like cancer. It kills cancer. Matter of fact, when I was in Ghana, I hurt myself. I had a cut because it was a pimp, so I cut it, and I had a big cut on my head, and I put some stuff on it. But when it healed, I didn't even have a scar.
Amazing.
The whole area is a healing and bountiful place. And my house, I have hummingbirds pecking on my windows in the morning. And you need to ask whether we should leave or not. It depends on whether you want liberty or not.
Well, folks, I think Dr. Black has answered that question. We got about 9 minutes left. I first, of course, want to thank you, Dr. Black. Your insight, the way of explaining things that you have, that gift is something that we will surely, surely need. And
you have to excuse my passion. Sorry.
I see that. I want to thank all you folks that are listening in. I know we were having some technical difficulties on the call-in line, but I think Blog Talk Radio is aware of their difficulties. But you folks that listen in, please make sure to share this podcast, because we hope that this will be just first of many with updates and you know, invitations to qualified people who will only just provide one commitment, and that commitment is to lay down your life for your brother in this endeavor. We're going to be recruiting some board of directors, some further people to kind of get into this from our membership. And as you know, we all now recruit from Hebrew Sphere. I don't know if you're aware of this, Dr. Black, but there's a social media platform that has just been put up. It's called Hebrew Sphere, and just the way it sounds, HebrewSphere.com. And it is a social media for ADOS, for Hebrews, and Hebrews only. It was created in contrast to Twitter and Facebook, LinkedIn, and these other social media platforms that tend to restrict our message. And, you know, when you got Boozy offering Mark Zuckerberg $100,000 to get his Instagram account back, there's just something wrong with that. You know, this pretty much self-made man is at the feet of Zuckerberg, a billionaire, offering him $100,000 for his Instagram account. That, my friends, is the reason I promote separation. We need to maintain more control over what we do, with who we do, and how we do, for God's sakes. Haven't they had enough control over us mentally, physically, psychically? And when I say remove ourselves from their presence, I'm not talking to confrontation. It's not malicious. You know, they have a lot of shit they have to straighten out amongst their own. They're not going to be able to do it trying to focus on us and them. How about that? So we're leaving, and we ain't asking permission. And you know, we're gonna progress. Dr. Black, we got about 6 minutes left. Anything you want to tell the folks who'll be listening to the broadcast?
Well, first, again, I wanted to thank you for the opportunity. I love our people so much. And, you know, I work tirelessly in a place where we can really live our true potential. I feel for our children. And I believe that I've been blessed to have this opportunity to offer this as a part of the movement. I'm so excited to partner with you and your listeners and those who believe that we're worth it. I believe that we're worth it. I'm willing to show it and continue to show it. And I think if we can do this together, I'm going to leave on this one last principle. Think about our history. If you just think about our history, we were so dynamic as a people that someone wrote a proverb that one of us can put 1,000 people to flight when we are operating in the purpose that we were ordained to be in. And then if we teamed up with two people who understood who and what they are as people to then put 10,000 soldiers to flight. That means 10,000 people couldn't even handle two when we were together and understood our purpose and who was for us and not against us. And I think we can overcome and achieve quite a bit, that many, but you definitely have to be, like you said, that minimum qualification to do no harm and to love your brother enough where money is meaningless when you look at them. Resources, your resource and whatever to come together to build a better future for our children, I think that is key. And that is the signature of those people who I want to live with and separate with. those are the folks.
I thank you for those words. I think they're very, very appropriate, well spoken. Folks, if you are interested in joining this movement, if you're interested in the agenda and the agenda community, you know you have to just email Amos A. Nunn. You can just email Amos at amosanunn.com, or you can do amosanunn@gmail.com. It's all in our amosanunn.com website. We're going to move quickly on this. We're going to send some folks to Ghana. We want to meet with the folks that Dr. Black has graciously put at our disposal. Dr. Black, I want to thank you for being on today. We're definitely going to touch base after the show. And you guys out there who listen and share this show, who've done it for the last couple of years, first we want to thank our listeners and thank our supporters. You know that our patron page is going strong, our GoFundMe count. Add us on Twitter, listen to the YouTube. We're trying to shore up the YouTube. It got a lot of restrictions on us on YouTube, Doc, so we were not as powerful there. But again, thank you, Dr. Black. We're gonna have you on next week. I hope you're available, and maybe we'll have some updates. Maybe. What do you think?
Excellent. Well, I think we should definitely provide updates as we have them, the significant ones. I think what's more important than even the land is the people and coming together. So I think if we could come together and put some plans together, outline, I think that would be definitely something to report and keep moving forward with it, because everything's waiting for us, I think, at this point. Because there are no limitations besides your plane trip and how to get the resources to the village. But they have opened, you know, themselves wide open for us to move in.
Well, let's end on that. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognegro. We podcast live at an undisclosed location somewhere in captivity here in the United States. I want to thank again our co-host, Dr. Black. And, hey, we're going to move on this 6,000 acres in Ghana. Everybody look to our Facebook and Twitter and all of our social media outlets. Again, folks, you guys have a great day. And, hey, keep your head on a swivel. All right. Thanks again, Doc. You have a wonderful day, sir.
You too.
All righty.